Today is March 25th, 1985. My name is Tika Ward. I'm interviewing Mickey Lawson. We are at 329 Possum Path, Louisville, Kentucky. Our topic is Lou Tate and the Little Room House. As we begin, tell me something about yourself first.
Oh, I'm a resident of Kenwood Hill. Have been since 64. My children went up to Lou's to weave. And we've known her for so long. Well, we knew her before we moved up here.
But you're an artist also.
Yeah, I'm a local artist, and Lou would do so many things for you when she knew you were an artist. She would introduce you to people and just always be so thoughtful of the other person. She liked creativity. That she really appreciated that. In any way, she loved it, and she always liked. I think a lot of the people that were around her were creative. They did different things, all kinds of different things.
How did you first hear of her?
Well, we lived over on Esplanade, and I had always heard of the place, but I had never seen it, and it always stuck in my mind that I've got to see this place. So then my daughter said all the children were going up to weave, and Lou would, they'd go up, I think they'd take like 50 cents, and they'd go up to weave, and then Lou would pile them after the class. She'd pile them in her station wagon with the dog. I can't remember the dog's name. And they'd all go get an ice cream, and the dog would get an ice cream cone too. Isn't that marvelous? So I got to know Lou, and she was so interesting to me. She was so different and always had something to teach you. I mean, whether it was something about history, something you didn't remember, or something you'd never heard of, always had something so interesting that it was a joy just to go up there and listen to her. She was a storyteller, and I loved it. She would be so fascinating, and it was great. It really was.
When was this? What year was this that you lived on Esplanade?
Well, we moved there in 52, but this would have been in the late 50s, I suppose, because we moved up here in 64. But after we moved up here, and Lou knew we were, she said, be very careful of moving on the hill, because that's, it's dangerous to build a house on that hill, and we found that out. But I still loved it. But Lou, I would invite Lou for the holidays lots of times in later years. And of course, Kenny's, and she would go different places, but she'd come down, and I'd say, come for Easter, or come for, I'd always have Christmas dinner on Christmas Eve. And she'd come down, and she'd say, oh, I love the turkey, but the dressing I love best. I love the dressing. She wouldn't stay too long, because it'd be time and someone take her home or walk up with her or something. Oh, we felt like she was just part of, she didn't come down all the time, but she came down quite often.
Did your children learn how to weave?
Oh, yeah. Even the boy. They would make these headpieces like Indians, you know. Yeah, the boys loved to weave too, yeah. Once I saw her, I knew my nephew was going to, his class was going to be up there. So I walked up the hill and then walked down, and she was sitting with the class, and I stopped and listened. And oh, if you had a tape of that or a video of that, what she did for children, the way she taught was wonderful. She really did a wonderful job. And there sat all the children, just like, you know, eyes just popping open, just listening to everything about cloth making.
What kinds of things would she?
Well, she would tell the children, where do you think that you get your clothing and so forth. And she said, years ago, you didn't go out and buy those. You would weave it. You would, first you would spin the yarn, and then you'd weave it, and she would tell, and they didn't know this. A lot of them didn't realize this. Of course, they wouldn't. I mean, and I remember when they had sheep up there, and they were showing the people how they did it. But that's wonderful.
So she would, and then would she demonstrate the weaving?
Oh, yeah, she'd have, and they all would get to weave. Everyone got to weave a piece, and then that would be sent to them and had their names on them, but they all got to weave, and that's the weaving experience. But isn't that wonderful for a child?
Would she also discuss history while she was talking?
Oh, yes. She was always throwing different things in, yeah.
And would she give them a little bit of the history of the surrounding area?
Oh, yes. She would tell all about the Indians. She knew the one chief that came to visit her up here from Cherokee, the Carolinas, and Cherokee over there at, the Smoky Mountains. And she gave my son a quiver where to put his arrows in, and it was woven by this chief. So we really, we treasure that to no end.
And you used to go to some of the open houses?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. What Everybody would, well, it was so much fun in the summertime because we'd all bring food. And Lou'd have the ham baked or something, and we'd all bring different things. And then they'd sing, and there'd be music, and the one gal, I think it was Freddie, she'd play the violin, and it was just a lot of fun. And then she'd have her chili supper in January. And oh, we'd have good time then. And somebody would help her make the chili, or somebody would make, I don't know. And she'd have all, I'm sure that at one time Lou lived, well, she lived on 3rd Street, and they lived very well. I mean, and she had lovely linens, lovely china, lovely silver, and she still had a lot of that. And she would serve that way, you know, all the, so it was a lot of fun. We just.
Did she ever talk about her childhood to you?
Yes, uh-huh. And she talked about her father or her family buying her this land up here so she could weave. And I think, didn't she go, she went to the University of Michigan, I think, and of course Berea and all that. But she's a research, she considered herself a research on weaving, a researcher on weaving. And of course she was. I mean, she was more famous through the United States and all over the world than she was in Louisville. Louisville didn't really understand and appreciate her when they had her, which is sad.
You said that when she would announce these open houses,
mm-hmm.
she would send out mailings.
Mm-hmm.
Tell about that.
Well, she'd always send me little letters, you know, and invitations and the little card that I showed you. She would put your name down and you were a special guest and so forth. And it really was nice. And you'd get to meet all these people from, she had people from just everywhere, just all over. And it was fun to go up there. It really was. It was because of the old houses. They'd been there for so long. And I know you know the story of the famous people that had gone, had been there, like Frank Lloyd Wright and Mrs. Eleanor Roosevelt, and she loved to tell that. And then she was invited to Washington, and oh, Lou was just.
Would she tell you herself about Frank Lloyd Wright? Mm-hmm. What was it like when she would tell you the story? How would she tell
I can't remember the quote that he said. This is something Borden Batten cottages set in.
Did she hear him say that in person? Was she?
I thought so. Yes, he was up there and saw the places. Yeah. But she told about Eleanor Roosevelt coming up, and at that time, her house was the end of the street. Since then, it has gone through. But before that, it was just to her house, and Eleanor Roosevelt came up, and the FBI had a car parked at the end of the road and wouldn't let anybody up, see? She told about that. So can you imagine she was interesting. There was just no doubt about it. And everybody loved her. She'd go over here to the groceries. Everyone knew her. They all knew her. And she was just a very famous person in the South End. And lovable. I mean, she had her idiosyncrasies, but she cared about the person so much. And she always said that what we should have, we've made a mistake by having our schools so large and pulling all these children from this large area. We should have smaller schools so they could feel closer to their schools and be there and be doing things all the time. And now we realize that's true. Yeah.
And then when she would use you kind of like, if you could understand something.
Yeah, she would bring down something she had written for the weavers. And of course I didn't weave and I didn't know, well I have woven just a little piece, just really don't know anything about it. And she would bring these papers down, and she said, "Now, Mickey, you read that, and if you can understand it, then my weavers will be able to understand it." And I said, if I would tell that to anyone, they'd think, well, that's an insult, but it wasn't. It was that she knew that if I knew what she was saying, a weaver would know easily. So I'd be her sounding board once in a while.
Now, we have here a page with a drawing by you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did that. They did all the dyeing and so forth, and they took the different things, and people would come up to buy the woolens for sweaters, to knit sweaters, and the colors were so gorgeous. They were the natural dyes, you know, vegetable dyes. But she asked me if I'd do a drawing, and then I started to have the children like to draw, and she would have different things for them, and then she'd say, well, then I would teach them how to maybe draw the queen's lace or something like that. And it was fun. It really was. It tied in together. It was.
You did a lot of the drawings for her.
Yeah, I did different things for her, yeah. Yeah, she would love to have you draw the, just, I have drawings of her looms, and then I would always try to remember the, if there'd be a coverlet there, I'd try to remember the design. And of course the weavers knew the designs, but see, this was sort of Greek to me. I didn't know all this. But anytime I would draw the things, I'd always try to put down what design it was. So just like those pillows, like Forsaken Lover, isn't that? Lou had all these titles for each design, and they were, that was interesting to me, even though I didn't weave. I loved it. So she said years ago they would trade their designs. The people, years and years ago, they would write letters, and they would tell about a new design, and they'd send it to one another. And I think that one letter I showed you from way back when said something about that.
You said that they would have sheep at the open houses?
Yeah, they had, and they'd have the spinning, and but they had, one time they had the sheep up there, and that was interesting, because they did all the carding of the wool, and it made you realize that what people had to do to have clothing years ago. You just didn't go and take a bolt of, or go in a store and buy something. You had to do all these things.
What about Brother Kim? You knew him?
Yes, uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Lou thought so much. I mean, he was a very, very nice person, and he had, oh, he did beautiful weaving, just beautiful. And he'd come up there ever so often to the open houses, and he was from over in Indiana at, I can't remember which.
St. Munrad?
St. Munrad. And I know I told Lou that, he was going to be here the Saturday and Sunday, and I said, well, I'd be glad for him, you know, to stay here, because I had the bedrooms and so forth. And he did, and he was so appreciative of the whole thing. He was a fine weaver. I haven't seen him lately.
How did he and Lou take in touch with each other?
I have no idea. Probably he had heard of her, but she had people from all over the world. I mean, she had people come down from Nova Scotia, and she just had, people would hear about her in other states, and then when they came to Louisville, oh, I want to see Lou Tate. But if Louisville would have just realized what a wealth of information, and I think they did later on. It took a while, but they did.
Did she ever talk to you about any of her trips, say to Chicago or to Nova Scotia?
Yeah, I remember when she went to Nova Scotia, and then she went to Florida. That was late in her years.
What was she doing in Florida?
She visited someone down there in Tampa, or she went down there. And then she would go, where in Kentucky, something Union, she went down there. Because that's where the Shakers, there's a part of Kentucky where they're, but it's, I saw it in one of these papers, it's something about Union, but she would go down there, and she would talk about that. Oh, she loved going to Nova Scotia. She liked that trip a lot. But she went, when her younger years, she was up in, they invited her to the White House, you know.
Did she talk to you about that? What did she say?
Well, she would tell about how they would serve in these gorgeous dishes and so forth. Oh, she loved it, really. Mm.
We have a picture of Sarah Bailey.
Yeah. Sarah was here on for some of the open houses, and she was an interesting person. And I remember I wanted to buy one of her baskets. She had made baskets out of honeysuckle, and they were so pretty. And I never got it. I just never, you know, somehow or other, I just never got my order in to get it. And I'm sorry now that I didn't, because she brought beautiful baskets.
What would she do when she was here?
She did spinning. I can remember standing at the spinning wheel.
Is that, would Brother Kim do spinning also?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They all, just like Ed Dinas, they did a lot of the vegetable dyeing, and they'd have that big pot there, you know, and they'd start that fire, and they'd have all the different things like onion skins, and it was so interesting. And for the children, they were just amazed that that's the color, that walnuts, acorns, everything, just and your any vegetable, just like your Queen Anne's lace, there were so many things that they get these gorgeous colors. They were beautiful. So pretty. Dye the yarns, and you could never get that color commercially. Those vegetable dyes just did beautiful colors.
Did you ever watch her weave?
Luke, yeah. Uh-huh. She was such a terrific teacher for the children, because she wanted them to weave, not just to see the weaving. She wanted them hands-on weaving. That's what, she loved that idea. And she had such good ideas about education. She would tell you that, well, she thought there were a lot of people teaching that didn't like children. And she said that was bad. That was just, you had to love the children to be able to teach them. And I believe she's sort of right. So, but, oh, I miss her. I really do.
You knew her in the 50s, and you knew her in the 60s, and mm-hmm. you knew her in the 70s. How would you characterize her during those different decades?
She was as I always said, she's a breath of fresh air in this materialistic world, and that was true. She had so many. She amazed you. She really did. You enjoyed her.
How did she seem as she got older?
She'd get rather cross with things. I mean, I guess we all do that. And she'd get irritated with somebody and be angry with them for a while, and then she'd get glad with them. And, you know, I guess it all, that's human nature.
Were you there for the Landmarks dedication?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was that?
We all have our picture. We all had our picture made, and they showed the whole thing. And I think it was Dexter Wright. He was a state representative at the time. And I think that's when they did that. But she was thrilled to death with that. It's a shame she can't see the wall above it that saved her cabins up, because she didn't get to see that. And they've put a wall up there, and they really did a good job. I mean, that wall, they've put such a footing under it, and I know it has really helped. So.
Did she used to talk to you about that?
Oh, yeah. She was so unhappy because the water was coming through her house, I mean, through the bottom of the houses, and just ruining the whole thing. Then she'd get angry with the squirrels because they'd get up in her attic and chew all the paper and everything. And she'd tell my son, come down here with your bow and arrow and kill some of these squirrels. And I said, don't you dare. There's a law. You can't do that in the city. She said, you just come down anyway. I want to get rid of those squirrels.
You said that you knew Nell Peterson.
I knew her husband. She had died back. Of course, I heard of her so much from the Art Center.
Which you attended.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when I went over there on First Street in the 60s, he was still there. It seemed like it was somewhere in the 60s. And he would sell supplies. And he was so funny. He was a scream. His character. A lot of fun and nice. But I was there taking from Etta Jansen. But I had heard so much of Nell Peterson, because I know she was a very talented person, but I don't think that I had ever met her. I don't know.
We have a copy of the article that you saved of your teachers. Tell about that.
Well, I saved this article out of the paper, and it was all my teachers from the Art Center, Lucy Deeks and just so many different ones, and Rommel Krause, who was the teacher of Barney Bright. And he would come in, he would commute from Cincinnati and come in every Friday. So I saved this. And later, many, many years later, I'm sure it was in the 60s or sometime, I got that newspaper clipping out. And here, with that clipping, on that clipping, was all about the Loom House. And I just couldn't believe it. Isn't that something?
And you said,
of course, I didn't know the Loom House when I was going to the Art Center.
And then after you saw it, is that when you showed it to Lou?
I showed it to Lou. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to have copies made of it. She couldn't believe it because it was from 42, I believe. She was just tickled pink with that, because She loved that someone had found something like that, and she wanted to have this copied because it told about the Loon House and the war years and so forth. And I told her, I said, I can't believe that when I cut this newspaper clipping out, I didn't know anything about the Loon House. I didn't know Loon Tate, but it was on that clipping, part of that clipping.
We have a number of clippings that you saved.
Mm-hmm. I'm a pack rat. I save everything.
But Loon Tate knew you were saving these things, didn't
mm-hmm.
you?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a letter to the editor from her concerning you.
Mm-hmm. She told about my teaching up there with the children, and it complimented me so much I had to cut it out and I read it once in a while because she just felt like teaching children was so important, and it was nice of her. She would always help you. Anyone she knew, if that would help you, she'd introduce you to these people, and it was wonderful. It would help you with different things. She'd say, well, I want you to meet so-and-so. Then she'd say, I want you to meet my friend who's an artist, and she does this, and then we'd hear the different things. And that was nice because your information would go back and forth, and that helped.
We have we took a photograph of a drawing that you made
mm-hmm.
and then painted in,
mm-hmm.
and then we had three other pieces in it. Tell the story on those.
Well, the one is red with the silver thread running through it, and that's for, it's a Kleenex holder, and I also got a small change purse. And she brought that down for a Christmas gift one year. And of course, it says Merry Christmas in it. And of course, I treasure that to no end. But this Kleenex holder, she has this tag in it that says, woven to say Merry Christmas, Little Loon House of Loon Tate, Louisville, Kentucky. Isn't that nice? Treasure that forever. Then I have this one that I really treasure. She made this. And I'm sure she was very, very ill at the time. And it has a tag in it that says Little Loon House of Lou Tate's, and has the drawing of the house. And then on the other side, she had woven her name into it, and it says Lou Tate. Yeah. And when my daughter got married, that's something else that when she got married, Lou, for a gift, gave her placemats. And underneath on the hem, she put their name and from Lou Tate, and I think the date of their wedding. Now, of course, my daughter wouldn't dare use them. She treasures them and keeps them as a keepsake. Yeah, she had woven those.
You have these two pillows, and you told me the name of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one's green and one has blue in it, navy blue, and they're the same design, although looking at them, you can't tell it. But it's called Forsaken Lover. I love that. That's just so. I think I'm gonna put those away and treasure those too. I'm afraid somebody might wear them out.
You were on the founding board of directors.
Mm-hmm.
Tell about the time leading up to Lou Tate's death, and then what happened afterward.
Well, I can remember that one time she had us take. I went down to Norton's Hospital because Lou was down there, and I know she was dying at the time. And I asked the nurse if I could see her. And I thought, well, if I could just say hello and walk out of the room, you know, just let her know. And she said, well, who are you? And instead of saying, it's Mickey, I said, one of the neighbors, which I should never have done that. And Lou said, I don't want to see him. And after I walked out, I thought, well, that was stupid, because she would have said, well, tell her, you know, say something. She would have said something to me, or I would have seen her. But she said no, and she didn't know which neighbor it was. That was foolish of me. I should never have said, this is a neighbor. But the nurse wanted to know who it was, and I should have said, Mickey Lawson, one of the neighbors. And I didn't give her my name. But she had Lou Ann and I doing different things for her when she was so ill, and she knew she was dying. And she wrote something. She kept a not a diary, but she kept a journal or something. She did something. She wrote about, in fact, Ann Kuiper got her the book, Death and Dying, what is that? And she was reading all of that. And sometime maybe.
Did she talk to you about it?
Yeah.
Ever?
Yeah, she knew she was dying. Yeah, she knew she was. She would tell you, well, I plan to do this, and if I can manage to do that. She knew she wouldn't have time to do it. It's a shame she couldn't have seen what had been done. But I think she knew that in time that things would be done. And people, she wants the continuity of the whole place. And I think it's done it. People, you get enough people, it will continue on. So.
What was it like being on the founding board of directors? Were you honored?
Oh, sure. I certainly was. I mean, they put me on it. And it was interesting. There were a lot of things you had to work out. I mean, like we were talking about the boundaries of the land. I mean, that was really had been up in the air for so long. That was hard for Liz. She took that. People wanted to take her land, you know, and that was, she had squatter's rights, really. So, but at different times, most of the neighbors helped her do this or that. I mean, there were a lot of people that would do different things for her. For instance, you knew that once she gave her car away when she knew she couldn't drive anymore, so she gave it away. And we knew that she couldn't get to the library, so different people would say, I'm going to the library today, and she'd say, well, I have some books to take back, and she always appreciated that so much. She read mysteries. She loved mysteries. I never was a mystery reader, and I often thought, well, I really should, if she loves them so much, maybe I'd get a kick out of them. So, she loved all the mysteries. She'd tell me different ones that she had read. I read this one, and I read that one. And they all knew her at the library, too. Lou was very ill at the time, and she, Lou Ann Quiggins and I went up, and she told us, she told me, she said, now, Mickey, she said, I want to give you one of these baskets, because I love baskets. And she said, do you like the, she gave me a choice of two, and one was a beautiful Cherokee basket that I knew was worth a lot. Of course, that wouldn't have mattered, but I knew it was beautiful. I had seen the Cherokee baskets down there. But, and she said, or this one, and this was my grandmother's, and I'd carry eggs in it, and it was a little broken and so forth. I said, well, that's the one I want. I had to have that. That meant more to me. So I've got it in, I'll have to show you, I've got it in paintings. I put it in, you know, incorporated in different paintings. In fact, I called one, when I did all her baskets, I think it's on some of the slides, I had the baskets together. I called them Lou Tate's baskets, because she liked baskets.
You were telling about the soldiers.
Well, Lou would tell, I think it was during World War II, she would tell that they would invite the soldiers from Fort Knox up, and they would have a dinner for them, and then they'd play bridge, and the family would be there, and I think it was her father, and he liked to play bridge, and they would entertain them very, very well, you know. So, when Lou would come down for dinner, or if she'd come over, I would get so tickled because Lou never liked dessert. She never liked anything sweet. And I always say, oh, come have a piece of pie. Come do this. No, she didn't like sweets. She never eats sweets. The memory of this hill, this Kenwood Hill, they're so great. And Lou Tate is such a part of it. Lou Tate said that this hill was called Sunshine Hill by the Indians. And she said they didn't live here. They hunted here. They would come a distance and hunt here, and I suppose she was right because New Cut Road is supposed to be part of the Buffalo Run. Before they built houses on top of this hill, which they shouldn't have done, but it was all open up there, and they should have made a park out of it, but they didn't. But Lou would take the kids up. They'd all hike up to Devil's Backbone, and sometime they'd have a picnic up there. And you can still see the stones and everything where they built the house, but it was called Devil's Backbone. It was pure fun knowing Lou Tate.
This is the end of the interview with Mickey Lawson, Tape 1, Side 1.